The gospel reading for this morning comes to us from Luke's gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 and then 7 through 14. As we've been doing all summer, we're working through the book of Luke, and Jesus is slowly making his way to Jerusalem and to the events that will happen there with his death and resurrection. But right now, he's sort of working his way along the countryside and teaching as he goes. This is a Sabbath story, and it is the fourth of four Sabbath stories in Luke. And so this is the last one that Luke gives to us. Listen for God's word. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. May God bless the reading and hearing of this gospel word. Be together in the spirit of prayer. Holy God, we ask that you send your spirit to us today. To give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to understand your word and make it your word, not ours. Amen. Taking our passage from Hebrews seriously, and especially the line that says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And taking that seriously, the Protestant church in general, and our church in particular, talks and thinks a whole lot about hospitality these days. It's important to us. We have ushers and greeters and people who give out name tags. We spend a lot of time thinking about hospitality, and we take this passage seriously. In fact, the church for a number of years now has really started to focus more and more on hospitality. We're trying to be those churches that are welcoming. I mean, really welcoming. That are places that have greeters outside and ushers inside to orient you and show you where the bathroom is. And people are trained to reach out to one another after church and to talk with people and visitors and newcomers during coffee hour. We want to be that sort of church because if somebody comes here, they feel welcome, well, maybe then they'll come back and spend some more time with us. On the flip side, you find those churches that, I hear about this from time to time, you know, not this church, but that other church down the street, there was no ushers and no greeters, and no one talked to me, and I spent 5 minutes standing in coffee hour, and nobody talked to me. It was so awkward and so uncomfortable, I'm never going back there. We want to be like the welcoming church, not like that other church. Hospitality is important, something that we strive to do and to do well. It's interesting, though, I was thinking about hospitality this week, and I was thinking about, well, folks in general, but certainly some folks in this congregation, myself included, who are really interested in hospitality, and they like to give hospitality, right, and be ushers and greeters and that sort of thing, but there are some folks who are less interested in receiving the hospitality. Now, not naming any names to be sure, but as a pastor, I know that there are some folks right here, and certainly in every congregation, who like to give hospitality, but you know, they don't call when they have need. They don't call when they're sick and in the hospital, or they have a question, or they need direction, or just somebody to talk to. And I get it. I understand that. I understand that it is easier to give hospitality than it is to receive it, right? Because when you're giving hospitality, you're in your comfort zone. You know, you've got the power and authority. You know where the bathrooms are. hour. You know, you've got friends to talk to at coffee hour. But receiving hospitality is placing your trust and your care in somebody else, right? And it takes us out of our comfort zone. And we experience anxiety and discomfort. So we like to be those who give hospitality, but maybe not those who receive hospitality. I'm grateful to the United Methodist advertising campaign these days, and they have a television commercial that is narrated by James Earl Jones, a man that I can listen to read the phone book. He's just got such a great voice. But one of the lines in the television commercial, he says this. He says, "What if church looked at itself with seeker's eyes, recognizing that even the smallest step through one of our doors is an act of courage, a moment of vulnerability? Maybe taking a step through that door as a guest is a moment of great courage and vulnerability. And maybe the best way to show hospitality, the most authentic form of hospitality and welcome, is when we meet their vulnerability with our vulnerability. What if we make ourselves vulnerable and take ourselves outside the comfort zone so that we might meet them as equals rather than host and hosted?" Something to think about. Well, Jesus was in a very vulnerable situation when he sat down at the table with the Pharisee, the prominent Pharisee. You see, throughout the book of Luke, Jesus had been doing things that created division and tension with the Jewish religious authorities. And as we saw last week, Jesus heals on the Sabbath the woman bent double, you'll remember. And that really infuriated the temple leader. And so tensions are rising. And so right after that scene, we see Jesus at table with the very people that he was at odds with. And Luke, so that we don't miss the point of the tension, Luke tells us that they were watching him really closely. Jesus was under surveillance, and he was vulnerable. So Jesus does what Jesus does, right? And he sat there passively and didn't say a word and was really polite and nice, right? No, that's not what Jesus does. Much to the chagrin of his host, I'm sure, right as the dinner party is starting, a man with dropsy walks by. Kind of an archaic word, but it means edema or swelling. He was swelled. And it was Sabbath, and Jesus was being watched closely, and he was vulnerable, and he still decides to heal the man. So he does. He heals the man right there. It was a kind of an in-your-face move, but he does it anyway. And then right after healing the man on the Sabbath, in the context of people he was fighting with, he moves to tell them the parable of the wedding feast. And he says, "You know, I saw you all when you came here today, and all of you raced to sit in the most prominent places." Right? This is a dinner party he's at. Imagine the tension. And he says this, "I have a parable for you. When you go to a wedding feast, don't sit at the most prominent places, because when you do that, you might be asked to move by the wedding host. And then you'll be embarrassed, and they'll be embarrassed, and it'll be a bad scene. What you need to do is go to the most humble places. And if they want you to move up, then you can go ahead and move up." It's a parable that seems like it's about good manners. You know, Ann Lander sorts of stuff. Miss Manners sorts of stuff. And it is about good manners, but it's more than about good manners. Jesus is describing for us in this way what the kingdom looks like, what God's intention and way for the world should be. And that way is where people come into a party and they sit not in the prominent places, but in the humble places. That's the kind of world that God designed this world to be, and the one that Jesus is trying to call us back to. So while it's good manners, it's also way more than good manners. It's about behavior in the kingdom that Jesus is trying to bring about and calling us to help bring about as well. Jesus is calling them to humbleness to the point where host and hostess, there's no distinction anymore. And the only thing left at the table are God's children, all vulnerable, all loved, and all loving. That's the vision. Way more. should invite, not the rich people, not the people that can advance you in business or put you in a good position. You're supposed to invite the poor, the people on the margins, the people who can't pay you back, the people that are the least wanted. Those are the kind of people you should be inviting to your party. See, that's what the kingdom looks like. You're supposed to have the humble folks there, and you're to humble yourselves by inviting them. This is good manners, maybe, but way more than that as well. I don't know about you, but I watch cable news and regular news and read the newspaper, and I hear the rhetoric that goes around. And I don't know about you, but humbleness and the way of meeting vulnerability with vulnerability doesn't seem to be what people are very interested in. It doesn't seem to be the thing that's being lifted up all the time. I don't know about you, but I experience more often than not that news has been replaced by a split screen with people yelling at the top of their voices at one another. I don't know about you, but I experience a world where increasingly Christians are at the throats of Muslims, and Muslims are at the throats of Christians. I don't know about you, but I live in a world where, in order for me to be right, it means that you have to be wrong. In order for my way to be correct, your difference has to be somehow flawed or wrong or sinful. I don't know about you, but that's the sort of world that we tend to live in. That's what the culture seems to value. And it's not what Jesus seems to value. Makes me very sad when I encounter that and then when I encounter this. How can we be people who humble ourselves and are vulnerable to the vulnerable? Where power and authority are not the most valuable things. Where wealth and position are not the most valuable things, but vulnerability and humbleness. How can we create an environment and a table where that is the case? Thinking about hospitality then, it's not just good manners. You know, when we have our ushers and our greeters and our people with name tags, and when we talk to one another at coffee hour, and when we talk to people we don't know at coffee hour, it's not just about niceness. It's not just about welcome. It's not just about manners. It is a radical, Christ-like discipleship move where in the very act of meeting the vulnerable with our vulnerability that we change and transform the world in a Christ-like way. It is no small thing to offer hospitality. So let's offer it here and in our lives. Let's seek to be humble, to sit at the places that no one else wants to sit at, to love one another, and to fashion a church and a community and a world and a public discourse where it's not okay to yell and scream at the difference. Friends, let's be hospitable because that's Christ's way. Friends, let's be hospitable because that's Christ's way.